My name is Ram. Ram Subramaniam. I am the director of the Sustainable Livelihood Institute, which is a joint venture between Orwell Foundation and the Tamil Nadu government. This is a seed festival. This is the beginning of the agricultural season in Tamil Nadu. This is the month in which farmers are in search of good seeds, so they can plant seeds. And this is the time of the year where farmers get together, exchange seeds with each other. And this seed festival we are doing as an initiative where we are trying to initiate a process for local farmers to exchange seeds with farmers from other parts of Tamil Nadu.
Okay, so it's an exchange-based system?
It's an exchange. Some of them are selling, some of them are exchanging, some of them are... It's a nice place. We are also giving away seeds in the evening. We have about 200 seed packets, about 8 different plants are being distributed free. They're sharing it here.
This is basically a festival to encourage farmers to interact with each other.
Yes.
And also get seeds that maybe are not...
And also get some seeds. Because we have, for instance, more than 200 varieties of traditional varieties of paddy.
Okay.
Being displayed here.
Okay.
And we have, I think, more than 50-60 varieties of vegetables that are being displayed, traditional varieties of seeds.
Where are the seeds from?
The seeds are conserved from farmers in different parts of Tamil Nadu.
Okay.
So you have farmers from Pondicherry here, you have from farmers from a few other parts of Tamil Nadu.
Okay.
Who have brought their seeds here. And they have come so as to share their conservation practices.
Do you think it's is it also a way battle against big corporations who sell their seed at exorbitant prices?
It's fundamentally that. It's fundamentally to encourage farmers, because localized farms, farmers having seeds and farmers exchanging seeds is the way traditionally the entire seed exchange happened.
Yeah.
And this is the beginning of your agricultural season. And now with the corporates taking over seeds and the whole thing getting concretized and consolidated in the hands of a few farmers, a few corporates across the world, you do not find adequate number of these kind of seed exchange programs happening anywhere. So we are trying to encourage that here. And bring Orwell farmers. Many of the Orwell farms have been here since morning. Some of them have set up stalls. Others visited here since morning. They have come, they have seen, they have bought some seeds from farmers from away. So, in a certain level, this is not happening in this area much. So, individual farmers, farm exchanges, perhaps people visit. But as a festival, it is not happening here. So this is the first time trying to see whether this could be done in this place.
300 varieties of traditional paddy, which is desi crop. Are you trying to encourage desi crop, organic crop, non-GMO?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Traditional varieties are varieties that have been conserved by farmers since a long, long time. So that is the desi variety of paddy and... And organic, and predominantly, almost all these people who are here are organic farmers. So that is another thing. We have Pondicherry Organic Farmers Association. So like this, there are organic farmers from different parts of Tamil Nadu who have come here. And they are displaying their products. We have organic cotton, Tula, which is organic cotton brown.
Tula is here.
Yeah, so they also set up a stall. So, like that, there are several produce also, not just seeds. Also, produce you have on display here. The idea is to, there is no question of GMO. Genetically modified crop is a scientific misadventure. It is it's a technology which is born out of human greed rather than... It is neither a science nor a good technology. It's a basically fundamentally flawed science. And unfortunately, because of the commercial interest involved, corporates end up promoting it. And
so does the Indian government.
Governments being what they are, governments are slaves to the market everywhere.
Yeah.
Today, that's the way we are. So they often try to strike a balance, at least in their political articulation.
Mm-hmm.
But in their decision making, they are often slaves of the
big corps,
corporations and the market. So unless you create more of these events,
mm-hmm.
more of local action, and publicize this widely enough,
mm-hmm.
and get across that there are million things happening like this
mm-hmm.
at any point in time,
mm-hmm.
people will not recollect that, hey, this is a tradition. I mean, this will also bring a bit of, this is a political deterrent at a certain level,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it becomes a deterrent because they know that this is also happening with
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people are not easily going to give up on traditional seeds or seed varieties.
Mm-hmm.
So introduction of GM, yeah, we are right now fighting the mustard.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big thing going on. 2 days ago, as the Supreme Court, there was a discussion of the GM mustard, and the government's asked for another week. Next Monday, it's coming up for hearing.
Mm-hmm.
We are on the verge of probably the first edible GM crop being introduced for commercial release in
mm-hmm.
India.
Mm-hmm.
And unless repeated assertion
mm-hmm.
of seeds being a freedom of farming,
mm-hmm.
that it is an expression of freedom. Seed
mm-hmm.
exchange is an expression of freedom, political as well as economical.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this articulation happens through such getting together, we will lose out. So for us, that is why this is very important. We work on livelihoods and we recognize the value of the seed exchange as part of sustainable livelihoods.
So like, when I actually, since I've been in Audible Radio, I've been covering a lot of these events, and they talked about how farmer suicides are almost linked with these crops that are genetically modified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you also think that there is a linkage between that?
Yes.
Between farmer suicides and these kind of crops?
I don't have to think about it. It's
okay.
Fact. It's a recorded fact. It is
mm-hmm.
not an opinion.
Mm-hmm. But it is being presented as an opinion a lot in mainstream.
It's unfortunate because mainstream again is a slave of the market. Mainstream
yeah.
media goes by what the market says, and the market
yeah.
interest dictates that, because we have enough evidence of BT cotton introduction
mm-hmm.
increasing. Because look at the cotton seeds. You know? Cotton seeds were sold in India at 50 rupees a kilo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have introduction of BT cotton. I mean, BT cotton was never introduced through the process GM mustard is trying to enter the country today.
Mm-hmm.
BT cotton was clandestinely introduced into farmers' field. And it went through no environmental check
mm-hmm.
or clearance till date.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then when the cotton was ready for picking, then they declared that this is going to be, oh, this is BT cotton. By mistake, this has been let loose in the open.
Mm-hmm.
And then they burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no farmer likes to see his field being burnt with
mm-hmm.
a fully grown crop.
Mm-hmm.
That was used to blackmail and arm twist the government
mm-hmm.
in Gujarat
mm-hmm.
to legalize the entry of BT cotton into
mm-hmm.
India.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequent to that, this 50 rupees a kilo cotton became 2,200 rupees for 450 grams.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the 50 grams of the other seeds, you know,
mm-hmm.
half a kilo. Now, what is the proportion of increase, right? And it's not just the seeds, because what did they claim? They made a claim that your bollworm will be completely eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But within the second season, you found the bollworm was coming back.
Yeah.
Then you have BT2, BT3, because with each attack,
mm-hmm.
each introduction of each new seed variety, within a season, the worm develops resistance to that. So
yeah.
you get, again, the bollworm attack. So what are they promoting? They are promoting. This technology was promoted saying it will reduce the usage of chemical pesticide.
Yeah, but it's actually encouraged.
It actually increased the usage,
yeah.
right? And because it increased the usage of pesticide, the cost of cultivation and the cost of farming itself goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And when a cotton market crashes, like it did a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
you see an increase in terms of the farmer suicide, because debt. All farming activity in India, because majority of our farmers are small and medium farmers,
mm-hmm.
all farming activity starts with borrowing money.
Yeah.
That's why this year we are facing a huge crisis. This year, if you notice, the beginning of the season, in places like Haryana and Punjab, you have had farm suicides.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because of the demonetization.
Mm-hmm.
The surplus cash that is available, which the local money lender would lend to the farmer, has been sucked out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have the money
mm-hmm.
to give further lending.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? So they have to go to the banks, and no bank gives money to a farmer for doing farming. So mainstream banks don't exist. You know, you look around, go to any farming area, there's no mainstream bank anywhere. So you don't have mainstream financial institution giving money. The unorganized sector that was lending has been pulled out. And then you have this cost of cultivation going up, and you have to repay your prior loans. Obviously, farmers end up committing suicide. So that is how the farm suicide increased. And it is all well documented, well researched, and well documented, the number of farm suicides that have happened today in India. This time, Tamil Nadu has seen farm suicides. This year, beginning of this year, for the first time in about 10 years, we saw farm suicides in Tamil Nadu. We have known farm suicides in the dryland crops. But even in the irrigated areas, farm suicides happen this year.
Is it because of the drought?
The drought combined with the debt. They're all into debt trap. So it is all written, it is documented. I mean, A.R. Vasavi, our brilliant academician, has done this chronicling of this thing. Sainath has written about it enough, but she has written about the farmers who committed suicide. Majority of them were the farmers who were encouraged by the agricultural department to adopt more and more newer technologies. That is a common thread she finds among all the farmers. So they are isolated from their own community because they are doing new technologies because it is promoted by the government, by the department. And then they are isolated from their own community. And in the process, they don't have any fallback mechanism. They can't fall back on any of their own community or this thing because they have been isolated. They are celebrated already as progressive farmers. So in the process, they lose out. They lose out on their own community support structure, and eventually they are pushed to a corner where they have no other, or at least they feel they have no other exit but to commit suicide. So that's how, I mean, it is so well documented today. And sometimes, you know, it's unfortunate that mainstream media still, you know, talks about, oh, maybe we should send a few psychiatrists to avoid farm suicides. I mean, what can be more inhuman than this? All that he needs is access to credit. Access to credit that is non-intimidating. Access to credit that can be with dignity. And access to market where the market pays the right price. Neither a right price is offered, nor is credit being available, and then the debt is rising and your input cost is going up with all these new technologies like genetic modification, which is fundamentally a meaningless technology. As a technology, it is such a poor science and such a poor technology.
A lot of these corporations have started this thing called BCI. Have you heard of it?
BCI.
Better Cotton Initiative. WWF has started it. They're working with farmers mainly in Punjab and Haryana. Teach them how to farm cotton properly and not overuse pesticides.
Let them do it. I mean, I don't see any necessity for something like that. You know, farmers are intelligent, so that's one thing we give credit for. Farmers are intelligent, they have been doing things all along. They do not, what they don't need is patronizing introduction of new technologies. What they need is a better understanding of the ground reality. And why would somebody adapt multiple pests or pesticides or pest management practices if the soil condition was better? Because fundamentally pest attack is increasing because of the soil condition. You have a poor soil, the soil nutrition has gone down. What are we going to do it? That's the long term. Long term, you need to address the soil in Punjab for you to ensure better pest management. You cannot stop addressing pest problem. Stop addressing the soil nutrition issue. Soil has to be addressed. So here also the same problem. Wherever you have excessive usage of chemical inputs, you need to bring back soil nutrition into focus. That's the only way we can revive anything.
Okay. Thank you so much.